This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Wednesday, October the 19th. I'm Angela Deming. Petersburg's Borough Assembly hopes to make some decisions about taking over three state-owned docks in the borough, possibly as soon as next month. The State Department of Transportation has offered to turn over the three remote facilities, along with some money for maintenance work. One dock is at Entrance Island in Hobart Bay on the mainland, north of Petersburg. Another is in the city of Kuprinoff, just across the Wrangell Narrows from downtown Petersburg, and the third is at Papke's Landing, about 10 miles south of downtown. The DOT is offering just under $733,000 with the docks, which date back to the 50s and 60s. The money could be used for maintaining or repairing the aging floats. A consultant for the borough estimated repairs to the Papke's dock would cost over $1 million, and the Kuprinoff dock would cost almost $1.4 million. The state has given the borough until the end of the year to accept the offer. Mayor Mark Jensen thought the state's offer would change if the borough decided not to seek all three docks.
We can't go back to the 60s, you know, and just have log floats. And it's a little more complicated than that. So anyway, just so people don't think that, you know, we haven't been thinking of their comments, and boy, I wished we could go back to the 60s, but times have changed, and so we've got liabilities and obligations that we have to fulfill to be able to accept these things. So,
and that was Assemblymember Kurt Wallhuter. Here's Mayor Mark Jensen.
If we decided not to take all three, the number would shrink. So I don't think we can expect to get the offered amount for just taking one harbor or one of the facilities. They actually, you know, they obviously want to get rid of all of them, it seems like.
The borough has been seeking public comment on the issue for months and has received a range of input. Some have urged the borough to hold out for a better deal. Others say the remote docks are something the borough has to take responsibility for. The problem for the borough is the upfront cost to repair the docks and the ongoing cost of maintaining facilities that are far away from Petersburg's harbor, in this case, Papke's and Entrance Island. The discussion may include whether Petersburg could accept the docks and transfer the Kuprinoff facility over to the city of Kuprinoff. That municipality has sought to take over that dock in the past. The Petersburg Borough Assembly hopes to have a public hearing on the issue in November and could vote on a resolution to accept or reject the state's offer. The Petersburg High School shop class has a new table saw this year, and it's one designed for safety. Students on Friday videoed a test of the district's new saw stop installed in the woodworking shop in August. The blade of the saw can sense the material it's about to cut through and stop instantly near a finger or, in this case, a bratwurst. Joe Vicknicki stopped by to watch the demonstration.
People familiar with woodworking and table saws may have already seen an online video of saw stop coming to a sudden halt instead of cutting through a hot dog or the finger of the man who designed it. High school shop students set up their own demonstration. Students gathered around the new saw as sophomores Colby Spears and Joshua Coonrad checked on several GoPro cameras mounted on the machine.
We set up three GoPros, one for the side, one for an angle view, and one underneath to watch the blade in action.
Saw stop engage, to watch it engage.
The two explain how the saw works, with Spears going first.
The brake will kick in and it will stop the blade, and the blade will shoot down for safety.
Because wood, when it's dry, it has a moisture percentage of less than zero if it's dry enough, and human moisture percentage is 3-4% and up.
Okay. So the goal of this is not to cut off any fingers here. So.
Yeah, tells the difference and senses it.
Shop teacher Dave Owens is running the demonstration and uses the opportunity to remind students of the danger still possible with a table saw.
And he had an accident today. He's a local man here, and it didn't hurt him, fortunately, but he was using a table saw, and it took a 1-inch by 1-inch stick of wood that was, I couldn't see in the pictures exactly how long. It shot it, it kicked it out of the table saw, it shot it across the room through an entire wall, and it stuck through the wall about 16 inches or so. So he showed me pictures of it. I think that's just a reminder of how dangerous everything is.
The new saw comes with safety features to prevent kickback like that. Owens has taken off that gear for the demonstration so the cameras can get good video, and he cautions the students to keep away from the line of the saw. He also shows the new saw cutting with the emergency stop feature disabled.
What kind of dog you got there?
Johnsonville. Cheddar.
Johnsonville broth? Cheddar stuff?
Yeah.
Oh,
best stuff.
What a waste. What a waste.
I already ate a few of
them. Did you warm them up over the torch?
And now the saw with the safety turned back on.
Wow. That's impressive. Wow.
The company that makes those saws says there are about 65,000 accidents on table saws in the U.S. every year. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vignicki.
And a short version of the students' video should eventually be posted to the high school's Instagram account. Petersburg High School's swim team competed against swimmers from all over Southeast in Juneau this past weekend. Other teams included Juneau Douglas, Thunder Mountain, Sitka, Ketchikan, and Craig. PHS won some individual events on Friday and Saturday. Senior Ben Higgins took first place in the 500-yard freestyle event Friday. Isabel Eath won the 50 freestyle Saturday. Van Abbott took firsts in both the 100-yard freestyle and 100-yard breaststroke events on Saturday. Andy Carlisle is the Petersburg swim coach. He told me that the team raced really well, and he says they are still in the building-up phase of the season.
The first day I did some different things with relays and stuff, and so we didn't place very well, but I don't really pay attention to team places at these things because they don't really matter.
In terms of the end result, getting to state.
Yeah, it doesn't. The only thing that matters to get to state is how you do at the region meet.
So trying different things out with relays would be moving swimmers
people around?
Moving
people around, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And seeing how the dynamics work, how they
work together. Yeah, see who does what. The junior boys wanted to have a junior boys relay. There was four of them, so they got to do that.
How'd it go?
Well, let's see.
Flipping through the results as we speak.
200 free relay. The juniors beat the others by 2 seconds. They beat our other team by 2 seconds. They didn't win the race.
Okay. All right. Any swimmers that did exceptionally well in an event that you would want to highlight?
Isabel had a really good meet. She swam really well. We're real excited for her region meet.
She's a sprinter, right?
Yes. She won the 50 free on Saturday against all comers, so we're pretty happy with that. And her 100 free was best time. Britton Erickson had a really good meet. He was getting lifetime bests. Maddie Whitethorn had a pretty good meet. We had quite a few best times, but they were pretty tired, so not everybody had best times. Some of us were there on Wednesday because we took the ferry.
Oh, so they were there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, swimming Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. So they had a few days of sleeping on the ground. Those guys didn't have great meets, but...
And you're just concerned with the best time.
Yeah. And practicing races and getting better at swimming your race.
So you're working up towards regions. You're working up towards state.
Right.
And these are practice races, pretty much, like you said.
Pretty much. Just learning how to pace your race that works best for you. And
as a coach, are you looking at videos, or are you just making mental notes when you watch them swim?
I do it that way.
Just take mental notes and then tell them later, hey,
yeah,
this might work better.
Well, and then we try things. Like if I have them swim the same thing the next day, we'll try one thing one day and one thing in the next day.
Oh, okay.
That
see if it improves their performance.
Yeah.
You had mentioned last time we talked that you were going to have some hard practices coming up for the swimmers.
We did that.
So could you see that pay off, or is it still a building phase?
I was surprised we got as many best times as we did, because when they get beat up, they're a little tired. So we're going to swim hard again this week and then start resting the week before regions.
Okay, so nothing this weekend?
Not, yeah, we have this weekend off.
This weekend off, and then regions the following weekend?
Yep, and state the weekend after that.
Okay. So in the regions, that's when the individual swimmers kind of, in terms of performance and their scores, that's when it shows up more? Because it's really that the larger schools have so much more of an advantage.
They have a lot, right, a lot less advantage at regions. Because you can only enter four kids in an event, and only one relay per relay.
There's so, more rules that would help a smaller team.
Right.
Yeah.
So last weekend, Juno's C team might have scored some points, and at Regents, they won't have a C team in the water. Points that we can't answer won't be as big a deal.
Yeah, because all the swimmers are making points.
Right.
So, and where's Regents?
At Ketchikan.
How do you like that pool?
I like it a lot. It's a good, fast pool for us. We've had pretty good luck there.
Okay. Well, we will see how you do then.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Andy Carlisle is the Petersburg swim coach. And again, they're off this weekend, and regions will be next weekend. Prompting a feeling of deja vu, Joe Miller is running for U.S. Senate again against incumbent Lisa Murkowski. This time, though, Murkowski won her primary and has the Republican Party backing, and Miller is now running as the Libertarian Party candidate. Miller visited Ketchikan last week to meet supporters and talk with local media. KRBD's Layla Carey sat down with him before a meet and greet at Edgewater Inn, and she has this report.
Joe Miller says he decided to accept the Libertarian Party's nomination to give Alaskans a choice in the November 8th general election. Miller was invited to become the Libertarian candidate just last month after the former candidate chose to drop out.
So it's a very short campaign. It's a viable campaign. And if we pull this off, it probably will be the shortest campaign in the history of American politics that's taken out an incumbent.
While he ran previously as a Republican, Miller says he shares basic Libertarian values.
I believe that decision-making should be closer to home. And that's really a Libertarian principle, that the federal government should be restrained, like the Constitution says, and we, closer to government, should be in control of that. It's basically a way to avoid the type of corruption that I think is so polluted Washington, D.C. today.
Miller says he's also running because he feels Murkowski was not an effective representative for Alaska. He says the old method of trying to get as much federal money as possible for the state isn't working anymore because the available money is shrinking.
There's very few people in the state who have not felt the influence of the shrinking money pot from the federal government. But that's where political leverage has gone, to try to get as much of that shrinking share of federal money as can be gotten. And the reality is that's a dead-end road for Alaska. We know the end result of that is less and less as far as money goes to the state. And so why not chart out a new course for Alaska?
Miller says the answer is getting more access to the rich resources in Alaska, most of which is currently owned or controlled by the federal government. He says that includes timber. So how would he do that? As a Libertarian, Miller says he would not be obligated to vote with either party, and there is potentially going to be a 50-50 split in the Senate following the November election. In that case, Miller says his vote would be a valuable commodity.
Could you imagine if we're in a split and basically I have the ability to tell, for example, the Republican Party who their majority leader is going to be? And of course, my commitment to Alaskans is I'm running to make life better for you. That decision is going to be focused on making sure the person that gets that position is somebody that will be basically cooperative with our effort to get our resource base back.
Miller also criticized Murkowski for her recent announcement that she will not support the Republican Party's presidential nominee, Donald Trump. Murkowski called on Trump to step down as the nominee following the release of a video in which Trump made vulgar comments about women. Miller says Murkowski's decision effectively throws support to the Democratic nominee.
I absolutely oppose Hillary as president. I think she'd be catastrophic to resource development in the state. She's made it clear where she stands on those issues. She will kill jobs in the state. Anybody that wants a future in this state should not vote for Hillary Clinton.
Miller says he was disturbed by the comments in the video, but he still supports Trump as the candidate who will make the best decisions for Alaska. 6 years ago, Miller was the Republican nominee for Senate after beating Murkowski in the primary election. But then Murkowski ran a write-in campaign for the general election and won. Miller says this time around he's doing some things differently. For example,
I've got a campaign manager.
That's helpful.
It is helpful. I mean, so I don't have to be the campaign manager.
Miller says they're also raising money at a fast pace from Alaskans who believe in his message. That message includes limited federal government and states' rights.
For example, does the Constitution talk about marriage? No, it doesn't. It's a state issue. The state should be deciding. Federal government should not be infringing on that. I mean, Roe v. Wade was perhaps one of the most anti-states' rights decisions that was out there. In other areas, drug use, for example, I've made it very clear that the federal government's drug war is clearly unconstitutional. At the borders, yeah, they've got a role, but outside of that, they don't have any constitutional role in that area. The state should be making those decisions.
Miller says he's optimistic about his campaign and says some polls place him within single digits of Senator Lisa Murkowski. Other polls, though, such as a recent one commissioned by the Alaska Dispatch News, show Murkowski with a wide lead. In that poll, Miller is a distant second place, followed by Democrat Ray Metcalf and Independent Margaret Stock. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
And I'm Angela Dunning. This wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. Thanks for listening.